This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Good morning. From literally the second he was elected mayor of Minneapolis to the time he left office 12 years later, R.T. Rybak was constantly in the middle of debates about new sports facilities.
Under his watch, a new baseball stadium went up for the Twins, a new football stadium was constructed for the University of Minnesota, an aging basketball arena was renovated, and plans put in place for a new NFL stadium. And while each was marked by controversy, Rybak maintained a strong measure of popularity throughout.
So as he watches a similar debate unfold about a Milwaukee basketball arena, it's not surprising Rybak has some thoughts about the process. We caught up with him as he was preparing to talk to the annual meeting of the Greater Milwaukee Committee. R.T. Rybak, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks for being with us.
It's great to be here. I love Milwaukee.
You had been in office for literally about 5 minutes when the news came that the Twins were likely to be eliminated from Major League Baseball if a new stadium plan wasn't in place. This was back in, I think it was the late 90s. Where was the effort when you took office, and what had to happen from a public perspective to move things forward?
When I came in, the Twin Stadium was in general agreement that something needed to be done, but it was very, very unclear what we should do. And there was this challenge everybody has. They want the team to stay. They don't want to pay for it. They believe there's a reason that political leaders should get something done, but they recognize what I feel is very true, which is pro sports economics are really sick. Do you engage in a process that's imperfect, or do you stand back and unfortunately watch market forces turn you into a city you don't want to be? It's tough stuff.
And you sort of opt out at your own peril?
I think, unfortunately, yes. And my learning over 12 years was to engage in the process. It's important for a town, especially Milwaukee, to keep the bucks. But it's also important to negotiate really tough on behalf of the public. And I think if you craft a very pragmatic approach saying, look, we want to keep the team, we want to upgrade a facility that's clearly not as competitive, but we are not going to be chumps at the hands of sports owners, I think you can craft something that works.
Well, and perhaps the more apples-to-apples comparison is what had to happen to upgrade the Target Center, right?
Right. In the case of Target Center, a basketball arena that was built in the 80s, it was clearly not competitive anymore. We needed to upgrade it. In that case, we came up with a very pragmatic strategy, which was to upgrade the building as it is, about $100 million renovation. It's in a little better shape than the stadium here, but not much. And that was a smart, pragmatic approach. In the case of the Metrodome, the football stadium, we chose to tear that down and to build a new, really spectacular stadium. But in both cases, we negotiated tough for the public, and we also said, look, we're happy if this team does well, but if you make money because we added value because of the stadium, we get to claw back some of the potential in that. So in both the basketball and the football situations, if the team is sold in the short period of time and they make more money, we're happy for them, but the public gets some of that money back.
One of the phenomena that is wrapped up in the Milwaukee arena debate, especially now that the rest of the state is part of the mix, is ambivalence or downright hostility towards Milwaukee from far-flung places in Wisconsin. You know, you live in Eau Claire or Superior, and you say, well, why should we do anything to make things better for Milwaukee? Was there a similar dynamic in Minnesota, and how did you counter that?
There is always a dynamic in every state where what happens in the big city draws resentment from other parts of the state, while, frankly, other parts of the state often benefit from that. The fact of the matter is there are some great, great communities around Detroit, but the fact that that center city isn't doing well has a negative impact on the rest. We're all tied together. And there is pretty clear to me that there are people from outside of the city limits of Milwaukee at a Bucks game, or certainly watching them on television. I know from living across the border from you guys that it's pretty clear that there are people in the western part of the state who happen to like your baseball, basketball, and football teams, even though they don't happen to be in that community. And the whole state is involved. Now, it's really important for the city to recognize that if you're going to get partnership from all out there, you have to do it in a way that benefits everyone. But the fact of the matter is, all of Wisconsin is part of this.
You know, Minneapolis is similar to Milwaukee in many ways, and many large cities for that matter. When people talk about amenities like a football stadium or a basketball arena or a convention center, these are facilities that get used by people in the suburbs or even in these far-flung parts of the state. And yet the city is in a position of needing to find ways to get these facilities built and still deal with all the other things that a big city has to deal with. What was your attitude towards that balancing act of, you know, this is a facility that the people in the suburbs go and they pay a lot of money and then they go home at night, and there are still these issues going on in the other parts of the city?
It's clear that within the boundaries of the city of Milwaukee, or frankly any city of this size, you have many, many complex issues, schools and transportation and infrastructure and all these issues, and some of them are the direct responsibility of the people who live there. But a large city, especially the largest in the state, also has a huge shadow effect on the rest of the state. There are direct examples like keeping Northwestern Mutual here, growing here, having those employees pay taxes primarily, I bet, in the suburbs, the real estate taxes that are paid that benefit the rest of the state. All of that really is part of a mix. What you have to do with a big city is use it as your economic driver. It's a place where having that big business have their employees go down the street to the basketball game keeps them grounded here, which has their families, buildings in the suburbs and all of that. It's all wound together. What you also have to recognize, and I think Wisconsin and especially Milwaukee have to think a lot about the fact that right now talent is very, very mobile. We're coming into a worker shortage, and that period of time is going to say that people can work wherever they want. And Milwaukee is in a fight for talent. And you look at that and you think about going to Chicago, going to Minneapolis, St. Paul, going to Denver, even going to Detroit, which is now beginning to move a little bit here, and certainly other parts of the country. You have to keep your talent here at home. You have to attract them. I don't think pro sports in and of itself is that huge driver, but it's definitely part of the mix. The arts are part of that. The idea of having local music and local beer and all those other kinds of things all together create a lifestyle, and that matters not just because it's fun for people when they're not at work, but it's very much about saying to a talented person, you can come to a city and do more than simply drive to your office, park, and drive back to your house. Okay, Milwaukee is an incredibly cool place, but it needs to make some investments right now to make it more attractive to the mobile talent that has a lot of choices right now.
When you compare the arena situation here to the, say, the Vikings stadium situation of a few years ago, the battle in Minnesota was often cast as Minneapolis versus the possibility that the Vikings could move to the suburbs somewhere, whereas the issue here is the Bucks in Milwaukee, you know, versus apathy and the Bucks move to Seattle or someplace else. What would have been, aside from the ego blow to the city of Minneapolis itself, what would have been the issue if the Vikings had, you know, pulled up the stakes and moved to Arden Hills?
Yeah. I think it's incredibly important to keep these facilities within the center city where you can walk to a restaurant and create a whole experience as part of that. There are successful stadiums in suburbs surrounded by parking lots, sometimes a restaurant or two nearby. But the fact of the matter is you're not getting the same amount of energy out of that. You make a night out of it. And when we really saw that when the Twins' new stadium opened in downtown Minneapolis, the old one was kind of isolated. This one is right in the heart of the entertainment district. Restaurants soared. That meant that those of us who wanted to go to restaurants on non-game days had more opportunities. That meant that more housing located in there because people wanted to be in places where there's active street life.
The irony about the Twins situation, of course, is that the neighborhood around their old stadium is where the new Viking stadium is going to be because this is where the Metrodome was.
Yeah. One of the things that we've been able to do over time in Minneapolis-St. Paul is to connect the dots by using big facilities and transit. So 15 years ago, we started a huge boom in investing in cultural institutions, Walker Art Center, Guthrie Theater. Then we moved on to the stadium piece of it with the Twins and the Vikings now, and then the University of Minnesota, and then the Wild in downtown St. Paul, all connected by a light rail line. It's not one thing. It's connecting the fabric of a community. What we did with those investments was then set off an explosion in residential development and attract now one huge company. Wells Fargo is building an enormous facility right next to the football stadium. So it became not just about a game. And the facility itself was about many activities, but the community around it became a place people wanted to live. That could have been spread out all around. Or the employee who may be thinking about working at Target in downtown Minneapolis may have gotten attracted to work at Walmart. But we say, would you rather be in a cornfield in Arkansas, or would you rather be in a vibrant community? That's what you have to sell here in Milwaukee. And so you face this real opportunity if you do this right and you negotiate tough on behalf of the public. You can really create something that benefits not just somebody who goes to a basketball game, but an entire community that's attracting talent and making everybody's pocketbook a little better.
As you say, you went from one stadium issue to another stadium issue to another stadium issue to another stadium issue. Is there any way for a stadium or an arena deal to happen without an imminent threat taking place?
You know, a lot of times these conversations are put in terms of a team moving. That was happened with a couple of our stadiums, not as much with the Vikings and the Timberwolves, thankfully.
University of Minnesota wasn't going to move.
Yeah, the university was staying there. But I think part of it is there's a real ambivalence that I fully understand on the public and political leaders, because this is engaging in a very imperfect situation. And I understand why a political leader or a resident of this community would be reticent about getting into this. I sure as heck was, because it's not perfect. And pro sports economics are just crazy. The thing that I think people have to do is to get in front of these issues and say, okay, if we engage in this, we have to stand back from what the owners are asking and say, what do we want? And I would say, as Milwaukee and Wisconsin, you should ground yourself in the fact that you want to have a 24-hour downtown that will attract more employees, that will ground more people in living here. You want to make sure that facility is not just for basketball, which is great, but also for many, many other activities. You want to make sure that you negotiate as a tough business person would and say, okay, owner, if you're going to make something off this, the public better make some money back, and you can do that with a clawback provision. You want to make sure it's not just a isolated building, but it's very, very lively in all corners. And so you can walk around that and be part of the community. There are ways to do this thing right. And I just think that you have to love the Bucks, but you have to watch out for the public Bucks at the same time. And I think you can do both.
Well, and right now the state's in this position where the governor in his budget has included financing for an arena in Milwaukee and at the same time enormous cuts to the UW system. Is there any way to do this without it coming out as though there are winners and losers?
There are definitely ways to come out without winners and losers, and I don't know all the details of the plan here, but I do think you need to craft strategies that have those benefiting the most paying the most. The way we dealt with the city's portion in Minneapolis for the Viking Stadium, for instance, was to leverage off the sales tax that was created there and have the state give the city a larger portion of the sales tax that the state was taking. And that way, what we're doing is really able to say those people come into the bars and the restaurants pay more, and the state had been taking a huge portion of that. So I think one of the things that's important is to not play this off other parts of it. If the governor, mayor, whatever, has to make decisions, and so there are choices. But I think you also have to look at the revenue streams that are going to grow because of this and in a best case, capture those first.
R.T. Ryback, thanks so much for sharing your experience with us.
Thank you. I love this city, and I'm pretty excited about having a new basketball arena so the Timberwolves could hopefully beat somebody someday. But I look forward to coming down and seeing it.
R.T. Ryback served as mayor of Minneapolis from 2002 to January of last year. He now runs an initiative called Generation Next, which seeks to close achievement gaps. And he also teaches a course called Mayor 101 at the University of Minnesota. He was in Milwaukee yesterday to speak to the annual meeting of the Greater Milwaukee Committee.
Coming up next, the art of making Persian rugs and the craft of keeping them like new. That's when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.